And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, today is a big election issue, I guess you might say, of Power of Prophecy. We're going to be talking about the 2016 election for president beginning January the 20th. That's when they're inaugurated, 2017. Golly, we've got a lot to talk about today. But, you know, we're not going to talk about most of the candidates. I mean, they're what, 16 or 17, maybe less than that now. They've been falling off. But you may be getting this tape a little bit late, or the CD. But I hope you're listening because it's showing up on our radio program just a few days before the caucuses in Iowa. Then next week, you know, the candidates go to New Hampshire, and then finally to South Carolina, and it spirals on from there. And of course, if a candidate wins in Iowa and in New Hampshire, the same candidate, and then goes on, he's probably going to likely win in South Carolina, and well, that'll be our nominee as president. I say our nominee. I mean, if you're an American citizen, whether you like it or not, you know, you've got to accept the fact that this person or that person is the nominee of his or her political party, and the president of the United States is appointed from one of those two parties. Now, I didn't say it was a good idea, and I didn't say that the fact that it's our president is so wonderful, but, you know, that's what we're faced with. It's interesting to me. The Bible makes clear that God, now listen to me very carefully. You're going to be surprised if you don't know this already. God sets the leaders in power. The Bible says he takes the most base of men. That means the most, you know, horrible, vulgar, maybe, cheaters. And he puts them in power. Now, why would God do that? Well, you see, God is mathematical. God is talk about a genius. There is no genius like God. He created everything through Jesus Christ. And he knows everything that's ever happened and is going to happen. He makes it happen. He makes some people to be evil, to do evil, so that, now listen to me very carefully, so that his will shall be accomplished. Now, Bill Clinton and Obama and all these people, that they're evil, George W. Bush, they're evil people, and they think that they're getting by. They think they're sort of pulling one over on God, but they're wrong. God knows everything they're doing. He put them into power. Now, for Obama and Clinton and all the presidents we've ever had going back in history, if they sat around and said, God put me here, I'm such a big shot. I'm so wonderful. I'm like a man deity. Well, that just shows you're pretty stupid if you do that. Because God put them there for a purpose. Now, I love Romans where it says that God put people in office, and he requires of them to serve him. So in serving the people, you're serving God. But that doesn't mean you're going to be a good servant, either of the people or God. And sometimes he puts people in office so they will do terrible things. Because his prophetic plan, his scheme of things will work out. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? You got to read Daniel sometime. I mean, it's sort of funny in a way because Nebuchadnezzar was made a king by God. God said, he's my anointed. Boy, he's my anointed. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, a little bit big for his britches. He worshiped other gods and goddesses. And remember when he built the great statue to the Babylonian God, and then the three saints of God, you know, were thrown into the fiery pit, the oven. They were thrown into the oven. Should have been burned to a crisp. Nebuchadnezzar didn't really want to throw them there, but his advisor said, well, you made a proclamation that At a certain time of day, everyone would bow before this great statue, this great image that you've built. Well, these Israelites, they wouldn't do that. They refused to bow. You said you were going to throw anyone that didn't bow, you were going to throw them in the fiery furnace. You got to keep your word. See how they'll get you? Oh, you got to keep your word now. Got to kill them. He felt bad about it. He knew these were good men. They were men of their God, not his, he thought. So, okay, there they went, right into the fiery furnace. And the next morning, he ran to the furnace to look in. He was so concerned, and he thought he's going to see just three burning hulks. Nothing left of them. Instead, the three were in the fire, and they weren't even harmed at all. Not one hair was singed. And not only that, let me tell you the good news. There was a fourth person with them. But he only threw three down into the fiery oven. Who was that fourth person? Nebuchadnezzar. He exclaimed, now listen to this. God makes you understand. He makes you know things sometimes. And he exclaimed, in other words, he screamed out, there's a fourth person down there with them. They're all alive. And the fourth person's walking about, and he is just like he is the Son of God. Oh, my. I suspect he didn't know the Son of God. He didn't know Jesus Christ. And, you know, that was the Old Testament. Well, the Son of God hadn't been born yet, had he? Well, no, not on earth. Not as Emmanuel, God with us, John 1. But he was in heaven. He's the firstborn of everything. He was with God from the beginning of time. He created the earth. First Colossians, chapters 15 and 16. And so Nebuchadnezzar saw a fourth person down in the fiery oven. And he said, it's likened to the Son of God. How did he know about the Son of God? How did he know about Jesus Christ? I think he just came to him. It was supernatural. Of course it was. Nebuchadnezzar was anointed by God. God says, you know, he told his prophet Daniel, I've put him there to do my bidding, to do whatever I wanted to get done. I've made him a powerful man. He's one of the most powerful men in the world. He's going to do my bidding. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, he didn't worship the right God. He worshiped the gods and goddesses. And before long, when you don't worship God, you'll worship anything. Did you hear what I just said? If you don't worship God, you'll worship anybody, anything. It'll come to your mind to worship something else. Oh, yes, that's right. Satan is Lord. Oh, yes, you know. Milcom or Malkuth or Moloch or Baal, they're the true God. Well, that's what Nebuchadnezzar did. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm God. I am God. Everybody will bow to me. I am God. He went crazy. He went insane. And you know, before long, he left his palace and went out into the wilderness, into the forest. And was crawling around in his hands and in the trees, and he was absolutely insane, and the dew of the earth got all over him, and he was a wild beast. He had gone insane. And then God brought him out of that, put him back in the palace, brought his sanity back to him. Folks, you'll get sane when you believe in Jesus Christ. You suddenly will, everything that you had been led astray into all this prodigal son jive that's going on in America and the world today, all this evil, this horrible sins and deprivations, wickedness, you'll suddenly say, what was I in all that for? I've seen it. I mean, I felt it when I was 16 years old and I came to know Jesus Christ. Suddenly, I was a new person. Now, if you're a woman and you believe in abortion and the women's right to choose and all that stuff, yeah, well, that's... That's fine for the devil. But when you get to know Jesus Christ, suddenly everything changes. Your outlook changes. Your whole being. Wait, what did I think that for? What was I like that for? And I believe this is what happens to world leaders. But not many of them change. You know, God doesn't have a special purpose for them. He doesn't have an anointment. They're not Nebuchadnezzar, let me put it that way. And by the way, Nebuchadnezzar's son, Belshazzar, he became king, and he was very evil. Made fun of God. He mocked God. He mocked God's religion. He brought the instruments from that they had captured from Jerusalem and Israel, and all the utensils, you know, the eating vessels and the beautiful cups and all that. Let's have a party. And he had a big party. Threw a big party. You know, that's when the finger came on the wall. Remember that? While they were partying, this huge auditorium, having a ball, I suppose, thinking they were. Drunk, orgy. Well, I don't know what was all was going on there. But I know this. Suddenly, they looked up, and on the wall, a finger was there. It was the finger of God. And it was writing on the wall. And it wrote words that he didn't know what they meant. God has his own language. And you can't understand it. And sometimes people can't. I know this is true in the Bible. I'll read a chapter. I'll come back another year, and it's like a different chapter to me. I can suddenly understand it. God has determined, well, Tex is ready for that now. I guess I wasn't ready before. I mean, I can read those words, sure. I mean, you know, I've got a couple of college degrees. I've taught at 3 universities. I can read, but I can't understand it. Suddenly, I can understand it. Now, this is where we have our leaders today. They all pretend to be Christians. They all, you know, sometimes even go to church periodically. Bill Clinton would have sex with women on Sunday morning in his offices. That's when not everybody was around. He could have sex, free sex. Instead of worshiping God, there he was degrading himself, the woman, and serving Satan. Well, I just wanted you to know that God can put into office whoever he wants, and he does it for his plans, his. And if these people don't serve him, well, there's the judgment seat of God. Every person is appointed to stand before the judgment seat of God and give an accounting of all of their works, whether they be good or evil. And everything that was hidden by them will come out. Boy, I'm thinking of my past. What did I do when I was a young man? You know, I was a typical young man and drank a little bit. And boy, but all that's going to come out. Or is it? Well, not if it's covered by the blood. Not if Jesus has already forgiven it. He throws it in the sea. But if not, well, we'll find out about it. Everybody will know on that day. Now, I want to talk about Donald Trump. I got a little excited there about Nebuchadnezzar and God's anointing and everything. And you know, he said, you know, the God of the Israelites, that's the true God. He got a lot smarter, didn't he? Now, I want you to understand that we have candidates now. It looks like Trump is going to win. I'm not prophesying anything, but it appears he's going to win. As I talk to people, maybe I'm not talking to the right folks, but everywhere I go, they want Trump. Democrats, Republicans, they all want Trump. He struck a chord with the American people who are angry. And of course, the rhino, the Republicans in name only, the establishment say, oh, well, it's all those angry people out there. He's getting them all aroused. It's because they're so angry. Yeah. Well, of course we're angry. Trump says, yeah, we're angry. And nobody trusts the government. I heard Donald Trump last night. He was in South Carolina and he said, look at this Congress. The Republican senators and congressmen, the representatives, they've approved Obamacare, spent the money on it. They approved everything that Obama wants. They give it to him. They claim to be Republicans and conservatives. They're all the same, he's basically told people. Wow. I've never heard a Republican candidate say the Republican Congress is shot, is no good. That's what he does. He's evidently getting away with it. The more he talks like that, the more his ratings go up. It shows you that people were fed up or angry. I'm angry at Democrats and Republicans. None of them represent me. None of them represent the true America. None of them represent our Constitution, our founding fathers, our traditional way of life. None of them. They're all a bunch of elitists, global elitists. They want immigration. They don't care what we want. Millions of Americans are out of work because of all these immigrants coming in. They don't care in Washington, D.C. If you have Obamacare insurance, your premiums are going up 25, 35, 45, even 100%. People can't even afford to buy the insurance. But if you don't own the insurance, they'll slam you at the IRS when you file your taxes. They're forcing us to buy insurance. Now, why are they forcing us? Well, that was because the Supreme Court. The vote was 5-4 that Obamacare was constitutional. The deciding vote was cast by John Roberts, the Supreme Court Justice, the Chief Justice. If it weren't for him, we wouldn't have Obamacare. Now, let me tell you a secret. If you don't know it, John Roberts is a flaming homosexual. That's right. He is a flaming homosexual. Did you know he worked for a big law firm and he took homosexuals' cases free of charge? The biggest lawsuit by the homosexual groups was versus the state of Texas, which held and the Supreme Court ruled that sodomy was okay. He was the lawyer on that. He was a chief lawyer on that. And he didn't charge the gays, the queers. He didn't charge them one red cent. That's why he believed in it so much. And when George W. Bush, it came time to appoint a Supreme Court judge, there he was, old John, old John Roberts. Who recommended him to George W.? Who's the idiot? Who's the fool that gave us this homosexual Supreme Court justice that turned around and gave us Obamacare? All this mess we've gone through and all this, the IRS tyranny and multi-billions of dollars of money from the people and the insurance companies plundering us and their stocks going up to the moon making so much money. All the pharmaceutical, the insurance stocks, oh, they're making money. And, of course, the welfare people, they're all getting it free. Who recommended? I mean, the president, who recommends him? These crummy people like John Roberts. How did he come up with John Roberts? Let me tell you how it works. He has attorneys working for him in the White House, and he has an attorney general. And they have a person there that goes out and vets these people. See, he not only appoints the Supreme Court judges, but he appoints all the federal judges. That's the appeals courts, and that's the district courts. He appoints them. So they've always got to be looking for good lawyers. So he had somebody that went out and looked and found what they said was a great lawyer. And he's got to be great if he's going to be Supreme Court justice, the Chief Justice. Who did that? Who's the filthy, dirty homosexual who gave us another homosexual? And George W. Bush, of course, is ultimately to blame. He appointed the guy. He knew he was homosexual. He knew that he was a lead lawyer on the Texas sodomy case that had been won at the Supreme Court. He knew he was a homosexual. He knew the guy was a liberal. He appointed him because he was recommended by somebody in the White House. Who is the fool in the White House of George W. Bush that told George W., this guy's great, appoint him? It was a man named Ted Cruz. Uh-oh. Did you hear what I just said? It was a man named Ted Cruz. He was given the job. He worked for the Bush White House. He was given the job. Go and find us the right man to be the Supreme Court Justice. Get us the best guy in the world. There he gave him a homosexual. Now, you know Trump. He must know a whole lot about things. He's been with all these Jews. He's been with all these rich people, all these politicians. He's given Republicans and Democrats money. He's been to their White House balls and all that. Yeah, he knew about Ted Cruz giving us Roberts. And you know, when you look at Ted Cruz and check his features out very carefully, check him out, what do you see? But another homosexual. Another homosexual. That's why, you know, I got a letter from another person, and they said, when I was a young man, I was molested and brought forcibly into the homosexual lifestyle. But I never thought I was homosexual, but I didn't think I could get out of it. That's the way my family was. And that's the way these men that abused me were. But he said, thank God I came to know Jesus Christ. And I'm a changed man now. He was about 30. I'm not a homosexual. I never was a homosexual. They abused me. They brought me in at an early age as a kid. Now I've got away from all that. He said, I want to tell you, tell your audience something, he said. Tex Mars, please tell your audience. This is nasty. The homosexual community, they're nasty people. They're not happy with what they got, same-sex marriage. They want to destroy Christianity. They're a nasty bunch of people. I knew that when I was a homosexual, supposedly a homosexual, but I got out of that lifestyle. I got out of that junk, that sin, horrible sin, and it's nasty. And I remember that letter, that man. I've done what he asked me. I told you about it. They're nasty. Well, I was listening to Donald Trump the other day. He was talking about Ted Cruz. He says he's a nasty man. He's very nasty. Really? And I listened to that. You see, Trump is very clever. He's very ingenious. He's no wonder he's a multi-billionaire. This super successful luxury real estate corporation that he runs. No wonder he can flow and go with all the big shots in New York City and Washington, D.C. and around the globe. He knows how to phrase things. It's not an accident that he chose that word, nasty. Ted Cruz, he's a nasty man. Now, Ted Cruz portrays himself as a Christian. He's a married man, got two children. Why? Homosexual wouldn't have two children. Well, John Roberts has two children. Mm-hmm. I was talking with a homosexual man. He came to see me and he said, I know you don't like what I do. I know you don't. And I said, no, I don't. And I would love for you to change. I'd love to pray with you. He said, I just can't get out of this. I said, yes, you can. He said, I can't even stand to kiss a woman. I want to kiss other men. And, you know, I was thinking about that. He wants to kiss other men. That's the beginning. That's just part of what he wanted to do. But I began to think about that. He cannot stand to kiss other women. Now, this man was a very good-looking gentleman. I had met him, and I could see he had certain affectations. And he was a friend of mine, but I wanted to talk to him about those affectations. And so we discussed what he was, and he admitted it. And he said, I think I'm a pretty good-looking guy. I said, yeah, you're a nice-looking man. He said, I can get just about any girl I want, but I don't want to kiss them. I just don't want, I said, well, you've got the devil. The devil's working in your body, in your soul. You've got to get him out. I'm not going to tell you everything we were talking about, but Wanda and I both tried to help this young man. I say young, he was about 30 years old. Very, very powerful man in politics here in the state of Texas, by the way. But he just couldn't bear to leave the homosexual lifestyle. Well, in any case, he told me he couldn't stand to kiss women. Well, John Roberts, he has two children, but he had to adopt them. He adopted them from overseas. So he had two adopted children. Well, Ted Cruz has two children. They're not adopted, but, I don't know. But Donald Trump says he's nasty. Now, there's a meaning for that. And the fact that he gave us John Roberts as head of the Supreme Court, Ted Cruz did that. Ted Cruz gave us Obamacare. If you don't know that, you're way behind. Now, there are about four Supreme Court justices that claim to be, that are liberal, and they were appointed, they were put in office by supposedly conservative Republican presidents. Yeah. Ronald Reagan gave us one. George W. Bush gave us one Supreme Court judge. George Herbert Walker Bush, the senior. Then George W. Bush gave us John Roberts. Four different conservatives, supposedly, but they turned out to be liberals. If we didn't have those four Supreme Court justices, we would not have same-sex marriage. Do you get that? Four. And most of the decisions of the Supreme Court are 5-4. I want you to think about that. You know, I think it was Stephen Breyer. George Herbert Walker Bush wanted him as a Supreme Court judge, and the Christian churches fought hard for him then. Oh, he's a Christian. He's got to be a good man. Oh, he's a wonderful man. Turned out that he was on the board of this hospital that was doing a lot of abortions. Oh, yes, well, I'm sure he wouldn't be for that, but his hospital is for it. He's on the board there. Oh, no. He's appointed by George Herbert Walker Bush. Why, that he's a Christian. Oh, yes, he's a Republican. You know, not all Republicans are Christians, my friend. Now, get this. I Tex Mars, I'm not a Republican, and I'm not a Democrat either. They're both evil and wicked as far as I'm concerned. But the reason we've got a rotten Supreme Court is because of these justices that were appointed there by Ronald Reagan, by George Herbert Walker Bush, and, of course, by George W. Bush. Gave us these four cruds. But, you know, there's not one liberal justice on the Supreme Court that wasn't, there's not one conservative that was put there by liberals. They know. They know who they vote for. Now, this next president that takes office in 2017 is going to end up appointing 2, 3, maybe 4 Supreme Court judges. They're getting old. They're unhealthy. They're going to be retiring. They're going to be resigning. He's going to change the Supreme Court. They may throw out the same-sex thing. They've changed their minds on things before. A lot of things. They may throw out same-sex marriage. They may throw out Obamacare. This is an important thing we're talking about here. The presidency of the United States. That alone means we've got to have somebody in there who, if not a Christian, at least is conservative and will stay conservative. But most conservatives are a bunch of fakers. That's why they call them rhinos, Republicans in name only. Paul Ryan, the House Speaker, is a rhino. Mr. McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, he's a rhino. And so is Ted Cruz, but he portrays himself as a super conservative. But I'm going to tell you about his wife. You can sometimes tell things about a man about his wife. You know, the Bible says a man is head of the household. Well, we'll see what kind of household Ted Cruz has. He has a wife named Heidi Cruz. She worked for George W. Bush, too. She worked directly under Condoleezza Rice. Remember Condoleezza Rice? Oh, yeah. She gave us, she talked about those mushroom atomic clouds that are gathering over our cities. We've got to stop Saddam Hussein or those mushroom clouds, those atomic bombs will be dropped on our cities. Now, that's nonsense. She knew it. I knew it. Everybody in the know in Washington, D.C. knew it. But they were trying to deceive the people of the United States, and they did. And so we lost over 4,000 young men and women. Died in Iraq. They're still dying. Because Condoleezza Rice was a filthy liar. And so was George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and Colin Powell and the whole root of them. Oh, rot of them, I should say. They gave us this Supreme Court. This horrible guy Roberts. And they gave us the Middle East that exploded. And now they say 4 million people are dead or missing. 4 million people in Iraq. 4 million. That's murder. George W. Bush did that. All of, and Ted Cruz was part of it. He was there. He and his wife, Heidi. She's a member of the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations. You know about that. We'll talk more about that. And I'm going to get into Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders. When we come back, let's really talk about them. And I'd like to talk to you about a bimbo, Megyn Kelly of Fox News. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Tex Morris. Hello, friends. Tex Morris again. I hope you have my new book, Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. You know, somebody sent me a news clipping. It said that the Duck Dynasty guys, Phil and the others, were all supporters of Ted Cruz. Makes me wonder about Ted Cruz. Is he a Freemason? Well, they all are. They're covered in my book, Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. There's a picture of them, and they're all giving a Masonic hand sign or body sign. Oh, yeah. I talk about those hand signs, those Masonic signs, those secret ways of communicating that the Masons do to each other in my book, Codex Magica. But you'll find out about it in Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. You'll find all about Freemasons and Mormons and many other religions and groups. But most of all, you're going to find out the condition of the church. And I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about the establishment. Now, the church is doing well. I get letters all the time from people that are members of the church. They're part of the temple of God, too. They're the living stones. And, boy, they're doing great things for Jesus Christ. You know, they never make the newspapers, though. They're never seen on TV. They're wonderful people, Christian people. The church is doing wonderful because the church follows the Lamb. Its eyes are straight on the Lamb. Wherever the Lamb goes, that's where their eyes go. That's the church. But there's the establishment. There's the Rick Warrens and the Joel Osteens and all these. Come on, folks. You know what I'm talking about. But if you don't, get Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. Now, this book is $25, but we're going to give it to you for $22, okay? I'll give you a $3 break there. And then, of course, if you buy it from us, tack on $5 shipping and handling, a total of $27 for the book Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. You can get it by writing to us at, just send it to Tex Mars, in fact. Send a check or money order or cash for $27 and say, hey, Tex, send me Pastors and Churches Gone Wild, and we'll get it right out to you. Our address here is 1708 Patterson, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N, Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. We're going to keep printing this book as long as there's a demand, and right now there is. People want to know about some crazy things going on in church pulpits. How about the naked church? How about the church whose pastor claims he's 666? He's holy. He's Jesus reincarnated. Oh, I've got some crazy stories in here. About the pastor that hands out condoms to all her people every Sunday. Man, wouldn't want to be in her shoes on Judgment Day. Well, we've got so much in this book. And, you know, I've been gathering this information, collecting it, making sure, of course, corroborating it, making sure it's true. And now I put out a book, Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. You can get the book by phoning us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. Or you can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, or simply texmars.com. You know, I give you powerofprophecy.com because so many people misspell my name. Let me tell you how to spell it, though. T-E-X-E. And the last name is Mars, M-A-R-R-S. So you can go to texmars.com. You'll get the same webpage, whichever address you use. Okay, now let's return to our regular program. We've got you that book. I hope you'll order that book. You've got to. Why? It's important. And, frankly, we need your help here in the ministry to keep going. People don't understand why we've been in business for 30 years. They think any moment now the IRS or the FBI or the local police, somebody's going to shut me down. We've had little visits, but, you know, that's okay. We've been audited by the IRS. That's okay. We told them, come in, have a cup of coffee with us, you know. Here's our books, you know. They don't find anything. They have to leave. They're disappointed. Some of them are disappointed. They think I'm going to Las Vegas and Nevada and going to gambling casinos. They don't find any of that stuff. I don't even go on vacations, folks. Oh, my goodness gracious. You know why I don't? I love this ministry. I love talking to you. I love telling you the truth. This is more fun than a barrel of monkeys, folks. Telling the truth. I'm not restricted. I don't have to lie to people. I can tell the truth. Things that other guys get shut down for, I get the praise of God. Now, if you go online, you're going to say, oh, there's 500 people that are against Tex Morris. They say I'm an anti-Semite. They say I'm a hater. They say I'm this and I'm that. And all. You know, they don't know anything. I let them go. I just keep on doing my business. And that's what you need to do, too. You say, well, my family doesn't appreciate it. They think, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about. I talk about conspiracies. I read your books, text bars, and I tell them about them, and then they shunned me. They excommunicated me. So what? Let them do that. What did they do to Jesus? They crucified him. You're not better than him, are you? No, I'm not. Let them do it. Just keep on going. You're going to be rewarded for it. You're the one that gets rewarded. In due time, you will be rewarded. In fact, I think in the doing of good things, you're rewarded. There's your payment.
Well, yeah, but I'm driving an old jalopy and I'm living in a mobile home. And
so what? Are you getting by? Do you have enough food to eat? Well, pray, and God will send you that. He will. He will. He's going to take care of your basic needs. He will. Okay, now let's go on with this program today. We're talking about Trump. I believe he's going to be the nominee. I'm not sure he's going to win every primary, but he might. He might just, you know, what they call that when you like, win every game or win everything, you run that. What do you call that, Jerry? Jerry's my high school referee over here, football referee. Run the table. There you go. That's what. Okay. I guess I'm not a Las Vegas type, right? Jerry, I didn't know you've been to Las Vegas. They call it run the table, though, don't they? Is that what that? Did it come from Las Vegas, really? But that's what they say in sports. If you win all your games, football or baseball, you run the table. Yeah. Okay. Well, Trump could run the table. And, you know, it seems like he does things that he gets so criticized for it. For example, he says we need to stop the immigration of Muslims until we find out what is going on. He was criticized for it. Then it came out that President Eisenhower did the same thing. Not just the Muslims, though. He stopped everybody practically. And then he began to deport people. He called them wetbacks, Operation Wetback. Well, that's what they were. They were coming across the Rio Grande River. They were wetbacks. Oh, that's a terrible name. You know, Trump was criticized. They said, you call them anchor babies. Anchor babies. That's offensive. He said, well, what do you call them? Well, I don't know, but, well, if you don't know, then shut up. I'm going to keep calling them anchor babies. Now, President Eisenhower deported 2 million Mexicans. You see, he said, they've got American jobs. They've taken American jobs. My responsibility is to America. He loved the Mexican people. I'm sure he did. And Trump says, I love the Mexican people too. I love the Muslims as far as that goes. But my responsibility as president will be to the American people. Isn't that a good thing, folks? That's somebody that's going to put America first. President Carter, during the Iran crisis, remember they took our, 80 some odd hostages in Tehran? They took our guys hostage. And Carter says, we're not going to have any Iranian immigrants for right now. He was worried about terrorism coming to America. No Iranians immigrating. They didn't criticize him for that. They praised him. Eisenhower, Truman, Carter, all of them. But Trump, oh, they bashed him. Oh, they bashed him. Man. Now, Teddy Roosevelt was hard. He said, I don't want you to come to America if you're not going to assimilate. If you come to America, be a good American. Learn about our system, our founding fathers, our traditions. Assimilate. Many come into America today, they don't want to assimilate. They've got their own little community. I'm seeing these Muslim mosques go up everywhere. Well, I say go back home. Shut down your mosque, give it up, and go home, fellas. You know, Trump was criticized recently because he didn't show up. He's not going to show up for this debate. Well, first of all, Megyn Kelly, the Fox News reporter, the big star there in Fox, she treated Trump like dirt. At the first debate, she asked him a very embarrassing question. He said, as part of the war on women, don't you think, you know, you did the wrong thing by saying, he said only to Rosie O'Donnell, oh, no, you said this, blah, blah, blah. What does that have to do with being president? But here's the thing. Why should Trump or anybody put up with a woman because she's a pretty face? Because that's all she is, a pretty face. Why should he put up with that? Now, I heard him last night on the Bill O'Reilly Factor show. Bill O'Reilly said, well, you know, as a Christian, you're supposed to turn the other cheek. Why don't you forgive Megyn Kelly and go on? People will think more highly of you, Donald Trump, if you just forgive. Now, folks, I'm a Christian. I believe in forgiving. If you're asked to forgive. But how about the other side forgiving? Now, if somebody hurts you, let's say somebody comes and just kicks in your car door. You say, what'd you do that for? They say, I don't like you. What are you going to do? Say, okay, I forgive you. It's okay. It's all right for you to kick my car door. No, what are you going to do? You're going to probably call the cops on them. Say, this guy kicked my door in. You see, you forgive people when they ask forgiveness. And, you know, eventually, there are people that haven't asked my forgiveness. I have forgiven them. And I just go on. But he's not that kind of a Christian. I must admit, he's not. None of them are. From their records, none of them are. And certainly not Ted Cruz. He claims he's a Christian, but he's lied so much. He's a nasty man. He's given us his homosexual. His wife is with the Council on Foreign Relations. And Heidi Cruz, Ted Cruz's wife, she's the one who's co-author of the North American Report, Building a North American Community. She was with Condoleezza Rice. She worked in the White House. And then she went over to the CFR, that traitorous organization. By the way, I want you to understand something. This Council on Foreign Relations project, the North American Community, they want to bring together Canada. They want to bring together Mexico and Central America and make us all one big nation. And they want to open up all the borders. Oh, yes. Yes, this was a 2005 meeting that George W. Bush had with Paul Martin, the Prime Minister of Canada, and with Vicente Fox, the President of Mexico. They all agreed on this. They're going to have a North American Court of Justice. It would have the authority to overrule the U.S. Supreme Court, the North American Court of Justice. There would be a North American Trade Tribunal, make all trade decisions. And there would be a Charter of Fundamental Human Rights for North America that would override our Constitution, our Bill of Rights. Now, Heidi was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. She was on the task force, capital T, capital F, which in 2005 developed this plan for a North American community. She helped write the book. I have a copy of that book in my library, folks, Building the North American Community. Wow. Let me tell you what, you know, I was looking over that book, and on the back cover, there's a blurb. You know, they put blurbs on recommending the book and saying nice things about a book. That book has a blurb on it by none other than Heidi Cruz. Oh, well, is she ever caught? Is she ever busted? Now, here's what she says. Quote, this is on the back of the book. The plan for a North American community. The plan for ending the borders. No more borders. All the Mexicans in the world can come over. All 160 million of them flood across. And she wrote on that book, on the back cover. She wrote stuff inside, too. She was one of the co-authors. But listen to what she wrote in the back. She said, quote, I support the task force report and its recommendations aimed at building a safer and more prosperous North America. Now, in an additional statement inside the CFR report, she said that we need to have economic investment in the region. It needs to be led and perpetuated by the private sector. Well, isn't that nice? The capitalist, the big corporations and such, they're going to lead us. Lead us right into the North American Union and right out of the United States of America. No more sovereignty. No more independent nation. No more Supreme Court. No more Constitution. Where was Senator Cruz at the time? When his wife was at the Council on Foreign Relations. When she worked for Condoleezza Rice in the White House. If a man can't
control his wife. He can't do anything. But you see, he was at the White House too. And that's where he was. He was there giving us a homosexual Supreme Court judge. No, let's not even talk about that guy anymore. I mean, he's a waste. He lies. He's for immigration. He's for all these people coming in. But you see, he knew that people are looking for an outsider now. And so he's pretending that he's anti-McConnell. He's anti-Senator. I'm an outsider, he says. His wife, Heidi, is the ultimate insider. She worked for Goldman Sachs. She still works for Goldman Sachs. She's only taking a break right now, a vacation to help her husband. She's the one going around to all these super PACs getting billions of dollars for her husband. That's right. He's gotten billions of dollars. He actually, in his 2012 election, it's been proven, he got over $1 million from Goldman Sachs and Citibank. Goldman Sachs, Citibank. She worked for Merrill Lynch and J.P. Morgan. Come on, folks. This is a done deal. If you vote for Ted Cruz, you've just voted for the establishment. But you see, he says, well, I'm a Christian. Vote for me. He went to Liberty University and started his campaign. And people said, he's a great Christian. Well, it's interesting to me, Jerry Falwell Jr. has just endorsed Donald Trump. He's at a Liberty University. What does he know about Ted Cruz? I think he probably knows quite a bit. Now, let's go into Trump. It's interesting that the Republican National Committee has told NBC, no more debates. We're not going to go on your show anymore. We're not going to go on your network, I should say. Because you were unfair to Donald Trump, our front runner, in the first debate. You were unfair with your questions. They cut him off. Now, if the Republican National Committee, that's the establishment, cut off the debate, why is it that they didn't cut off Fox Network? Because that first debate was a sacrilege. That was horrible. Let's look at this bimbo sex person, sex entertainer, Fox's Megyn Kelly. Who is she? Is she a great news reporter? Her boss, Roger Ailes, said she's an excellent, a first-class news reporter. Let me tell you about her, my friends. Go and Google up photographs of her. Just don't Google images of Megyn Kelly. Images of Megyn Kelly. You're going to find some salacious photos of her. Some sexually posed photos of her. I'm telling you, here she is in a little bitty Tracy lingerie thing. I've got it on my website right now. Go to my website, powerofprophecy.com. You're going to see a picture of her. Now, I didn't show all the pictures. I just showed this one. This is no more than you see at the beach, but it's pretty bad. She knows quite a bit about the sleaze business. Did you know that Megyn Kelly, she's a news reporter for Fox, but she was on the sexually oriented Howard Stern show. The date was April 20th, 2010. Politico.com did a piece on it. In an article about Kelly's appearance, she noted that the Fox star, quote, talked dirty for the, quote, deviant cook, Howard Stern. And he is a deviant cook. He's a filthy, dirty, sexually perverted Jew. Now, Megyn Kelly was all smiles. I didn't see the segment myself. I must have missed that one. I've seen every one of Howard Stern's shows for 20 years. No, I've never seen one, folks. But I read about this one in Politico. Said she talked dirty for that deviant cook. I guess they were right. Listen, take your kids out of the room. I'm fixing to tell you something. She very merrily discussed, this is too much, the size of her husband's penis, the size of her breast. She talked about those things like it was nothing. And then she was asked to play a little sexual name game with Fox News people. Kelly answered Howard Stern's question. She said she would, quote, have sex with Bill O'Reilly, marry Sean Hannity, and kill Glenn Beck. He was working for Fox News at the time. She praised Fox News reporter Julie Banderas as a, quote, sexy Latino vixen. Here's the woman who had the audacity to ask Donald Trump, do you think you possess the temperament to be president because you call Rosie O'Donnell a pig? Well, frankly, Rosie O'Donnell is a pig. She is a pig. I mean, that's what she is, folks. And you know what Jesus said about the pigs? They'll turn around and rend you if you say something nice about them. Okay? She's a pig. She's a horrible homosexual deviant. Now, maybe we should all ask Megyn Kelly, do you possess the morals to host a Fox News Network news program? You know, folks, I don't recall, say, Diane Sawyer or Katie Couric, as bad as they were as liberals, I don't remember any of them going on, I didn't read of it, going on the Howard Stern show and talking dirty about penis size, breast, and who I would have sex with. But Megyn Kelly did. Now, I think maybe somebody ought to get old Roger Iles, the head of Fox News, that stands up for Megyn Kelly. Maybe they ought to get him on the heat. Maybe debate a little bit with him. And I'll tell you what, I'd like to ask him this question. Why did you allow Megyn Kelly to talk dirty on the sexually depraved Howard Stern show? No other news reporter does that. Is she a bimbo? Of course she's a bimbo. Now listen, folks. The Democrats have Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders. Who is Bernie Sanders? He's a commie. He's a communist. He went for his honeymoon to the most gracious, the most wonderful location on the earth, the USSR, back when it was the Soviet Union, before Vladimir Putin, back when they used to take people, put them in gulags. He went there on his honeymoon. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that wonderful? How would you like to take your sweetie, you know, you have some girl to marry, I'm going to take you to the Soviet Union for your honeymoon. What kind of deal is that? But listen, Sanders must know a lot. Bernie Sanders, he's running against Hillary Clinton. Of course, Hillary, if she doesn't get indicted, and even if she does get indicted, they're not going to press the big charges on her. They're going to get her for the little charges. You know, the ones that she'll go in court and they'll slap her hands. They'll put her on like 2 months probation or suspended sentence. And they'll say, don't do it again now. Ha, ha, ha. And she'll get out of the court and she'll say, I made a mistake. I didn't realize what the law was. I'm sorry. Now let me get back to my campaign. That's what she'll do. Yeah. That's what they'll do. And by the way, Sanders has exposed some things of Hillary's. He said, quote, she has been secretly having cozy breakfast with the president, Barack Obama. Think about that. Hillary left Secretary of State's office, but now she's having cozy secret breakfast with the president. And according to Sanders, he found out she's making daily phone calls to her boss, Barack Obama. He's guiding her campaign. He's telling her what to do. He's advising her. So Sanders says, I would like to meet with Barack Obama. And he told his advisors, I want to discuss this. And of course, he has basically endorsed her. He didn't use the word endorsement, but he said, oh, yeah, Hillary is smart, and she's tough. She's very strong. And that's what Barack Obama said. Now, Rush Limbaugh says that Sanders is running scared. If he exposes Hillary Clinton for what she really is, two bullets will go in his head. That's what Rush Limbaugh said. Two bullets will probably go in his head. Wow. Can you imagine that? I think Hillary would do that. If it looked like somebody else was going to win the presidency, and especially a socialist, communist, like Bernie Sanders, an old man like him. But wait, she's as old as he is. She's old, too. Nothing wrong with age. I'm older than both of them, folks. Wow. Sanders is a communist. He wants to tax what raises the tax rate 90%. Yeah, how about you giving 90% of everything you make? I mean, there's poor people. They don't want to work. There's millions of people in America just don't want to work anymore. And they won't work if they get it all free. And Bernie Sanders wants to give it to them. Hillary Clinton will probably win the Democrat nomination. I think she will be indicted, but it'll be okay, she's indicted. It'll be just like General, what's his name, the guy that was over in charge of Iraq during the surge. He was found guilty. He had a mistress, and he gave her secret information, and Petraeus, General Petraeus. They spell his last name with a B, betrayed us, you know. General Petraeus. That's what he got. He got probation. He's still out. He's making millions of dollars now, going around speaking to different groups and all that stuff. That's what she'll do. She'll keep getting her $1 million in these scams, She'll be indicted, and they'll quickly go to court, and they'll cover it all up, and then they'll have her. She won't do any time, and then that's what they'll do. Because if they don't, FBI will raise Cain if she's not indicted. They know she's guilty of a lot of stuff. And they'll slap her wrist. Now, listen, folks. Trump is hated by the global elite. He's hated by the Jews. He's hated by the establishment. They know he's going to mess up their pretty little games. He's going to stop all his immigration. He's not going to put up with the Bilderbergers and the Council on Foreign Relations running America. He's not going to put up. He's not going to be going to any Bohemian Grove meetings. He says, I'm going to support all the people. And I don't need their money. He went to a big, rich Jewish meeting and he said, I know you don't like me because you can't tell me what to do. I don't need your money. Uh-oh. Can you imagine telling a Jewish meeting that? I know you don't want me for president because you cannot tell me what to do. I'm spending my own money. And he says, hey, folks, he's 69 years of age. He's going to be 70. I believe he's going to separate. Okay, the first part of his life up to 69 or 70 years. Now he's going to take what he's got. He's going to give it to his children. Here, take Donald Trump luxury real estate. You got it. And they're very capable. They're a genius. He raised them right. They're good kids. They're going to take his company and run with it. And then he's going to say, I want to put everything I've got into the presidency. He has the power to say no. I'm not going to be at this debate. You treat me like dirt, I'm not going to be there. You got to put this bimbo and ask me questions? No, I'm not going to show up. He has the power of saying no. He's the guy that said, you're fired. My prayer is he'll get in office, put his real estate stuff behind him, and he'll tell a lot of our congressmen, you're fired. Now they'll say, well, you didn't elect me. He'll say, yeah, I'm going down to your district. I'm going to tell people in your district, in your state, what a crud you are, what a betrayer you are. And I think he'll do it. He's going to shake up America. They know it. At the recent World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, all they could do was talk about this man. At the Bilderbergers meeting, that's all they wanted to talk about. All the news people are talking about him. They've never seen anything like it, this movement. I'm not saying he's a Christian man. He said he's never asked for forgiveness. Boy, that's... I've asked for forgiveness hundreds of times. But remember this. God puts people in office, and he takes them out of office. He promotes whoever he wants for his own reason. Maybe God is going to be good to us. Maybe he's going to give us Trump, and maybe Trump will really rule as an America, for America first. You say it cannot happen? Well, God can make it happen. Let us pray for Trump. Let us pray he'll even find Jesus Christ as Lord. Let us pray for him. For that matter, let's pray for Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, too. Let's pray that God's choice will win. Doesn't mean the best man will win or the best woman, but that God's anointed, whoever it is, will win. That his scheme, his plan, his world design will come forth. And you and I, we're just going to stay here and whatever happens, let's just stick with God. Whatever happens, I mean, we have the worst government in the world right now, one of the worst. I guess it's worse than maybe down in Zimbabwe or someplace like that, certainly worse in Israel. But let's go forward with God. Whoever we get in office, we're going to stick with God. That's what we're going to do. Praise the Lord. Well, my friends, this has been Tex Mars on Power of Prophecy. And my prayer is you'll tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.